to thank you for the prayers on my behalf and say that it is my hope that something we study here tonight will be edifying and beneficial to you all. It's good to be here this evening. We spent this morning in Friona and got to hear Brother Ian Jones start his meeting there, and got to hear a very good service, but it's always good to be back. It feels like I've been out of town more weekends in the past 4 months than I've ever been, and it's good to be back, and I look forward to the opportunity we have to study a little bit tonight. Something I'd like to talk about tonight: does God demand obedience? You know, there are many verses we could look at that I think would demonstrate that God expects us to keep his commandments. You can look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, where it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, we are to keep God's commandments. Or we can read in in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, I'm sure all of us being here tonight would agree that God does demand obedience in our lives. He expects us to keep his commandments. And there are many people today who feel that might not necessarily be the case. If you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of your own selves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Many people today and many denominations use this verse or these verses to say that sinners are saved entirely by grace without any obedience, particularly in baptism. And I hope tonight we can examine this verse and realize that God does in fact demand obedience. That if we're going to follow this verse and look at it, that it shows us that we must be obedient in order to be saved. You know, many people that believe these few verses say that you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved still do believe that you have to keep God's commandments. They will still say, yes, you do need to be obedient. Yes, you do need to keep his commandments and follow him. But for some reason, when it comes to this issue of baptism and whether or not we need to be obedient in it, they say, no, we don't. But that is not the case. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 8, in Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And also go on to verse 15. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. You know, God's grace abounds in the offering of Jesus Christ. We all realize that without Christ's death on the cross for our sins, we would have no hope of being saved. We would have no hope of spending our eternity with him in heaven. And grace is the basis upon which salvation is offered, not the basis upon which it is obtained. We need to realize that while, yes, we are saved by God's grace, that grace was shown to us in Christ's death on the cross for our sins. And while that's the basis upon which salvation is offered, it's not the basis upon which it is obtained. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You know, again, Christ's death is how we have the hope and have the opportunity for salvation and to spend that eternity with God in heaven. You know, grace brought about this substitutionary atonement. You know, it was through Christ's death on the cross for our sins that God's grace was shown to us. But this grace still demands obedience. This grace that we read of here in Ephesians still demands obedience when many people would like to think that no, it doesn't. And that is not the case. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, grace does not teach us to continue in sin. It teaches us that we must live soberly and righteously. You know, we all know that when we're baptized, we put off the old man and put on the new, that we're expected to walk a different kind of life from that point forward. You know, grace should teach us, as this verse says, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. We should be doing the things that God would have us to do. We should be studying His Word and doing His will to the best of our ability. It's something we have to work on continually, and we have to spend time studying His Word in order to do that. But this grace that we read about demands our obedience. God demands our obedience. In Acts chapter 13, verse 43, says, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." You know, people were taught to continue in grace, and again, to continue in grace requires our obedience. Grace requires us to continue in it, and again, that is obedience. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, says, "Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and the forbearance and longsuffering, and knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." You know, God's grace calls upon us to obey, not disobey. You know, again, when we look at the love that God has shown us, when we look at the love that Christ had for us to go to that cross and die for our sins, it should convict us and compel us to be obedient to their will, to study God's Word and to apply it in our lives and to be that obedient servant. And how anyone could, read just a few verses and take them out of context and say, well, God doesn't demand obedience. We can continue in sin, do what we want to do. And, and not just that, but to say that it dismisses the need for baptism is beyond me. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." You know, all will acknowledge that faith is required. These people that say that baptism isn't required, that God doesn't demand obedience, will still say that faith is required. You know, and we should know that, yes, faith is required. We must believe and realize that without faith it is impossible to please Him. But faith demands obedience as well. In James chapter 20, verses 20 and 22, 20 through 22, says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" You know, real, true biblical faith is completed in obedience. You know, It's something that I'm sure we all know, but it's something we need to remind ourselves of, that God does expect us to be obedient, not just in obtaining His grace through baptism, but in our lives we're expected to be a good, obedient servant. You know, like we read in Romans, that it's our reasonable service to present our lives as a living sacrifice. We are to be a good, obedient servant for our God. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." And also read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You know, blood is essential to cleansing, and the blood of Christ, not our own, is provided for that work. And we have to realize that here in Ephesians, you know, we are told by grace are we saved, and we realize that yes, it is by God's grace that we are saved. It was His grace that sent Christ to die on the cross for our sins. That, yes, we realize that it says, by grace are you saved through faith, that, yes, faith is required, and that all will agree that faith is required. We must believe and have that faith. And then also it says that it's not of ourselves. We have to realize that Christ's death on the cross for our sins, that sacrifice He made, is how we are cleansed, is how we are brought, and how we have that opportunity at salvation. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9, it says, "Who can say, I've made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sin?" You know, no person can say they have cleansed themselves. It's not up to us to decide what we need to do for salvation. You know, we don't get to make our own plan and tell God, this is how I'm going to do it. God has told us how we obtain salvation, how we enter into that grace. It's not up to us to decide how we're going to do it. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You know, realizing that it's not of ourselves, you know, also demands obedience. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 that we just read, looking away from self to God demands we do as God directs. And we cannot clean yourself, so you must follow God's will to get to the blood he has supplied. You know, again, this demands obedience. You know, all throughout these two verses in Ephesians that people use to dismiss the idea of being obedient, to dismiss the idea of being obedient in baptism to God is when you look at them and look at what God's word truly says, all these things in these verses demand our obedience. Grace demands obedience. Faith demands obedience. Realizing that it's not of ourselves demands us to be obedient. You know, just the more you look at it, the more you realize that, yes, God does demand obedience. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Galatians 2, verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." You know, in those few verses it said, you are saved by grace, or by grace are you saved through faith, that it's not of ourselves, and that it's not of works. And here in Galatians 2, it's in verse 16, it said, you know, works here indicates the works of Moses' law. You know, man cannot be saved by the law of Moses or by the works of his own plan. You know, we all know that's something that you know, especially us as members of the Church of Christ, get accused of thinking that we can work our way into heaven. I've had, you know, two people tell me that to my face, that you are the people who think that you can be good enough and work your way into heaven, and that's not the case. You know, I don't think that I can do anything good enough to deserve to get into heaven. I don't think I can work my way into heaven. And here we're told that, you know, doing the works of the law or the works of our own plan is not going to gain us access to God's grace. But God does demand obedience. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, Philippians 3 and verse 9, it says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." You know, righteousness is obtained not by our own plan, but by faith or in the system of Christ. In Romans 10 and verse 3, we read, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." You know, to avoid seeking salvation by our own works or by trying to come up with our own righteousness, we must submit ourselves to God and submit ourselves to God's righteousness, or to obey God. You know, it's not of our own works. It's nothing, you know, we do of ourselves, but we must submit ourselves to God. And by doing that, we must obey. God demands obedience. You know, if we submit ourselves to God, that means we're going to be obedient to his commandments, obedient to his will. You know, God demands obedience out of us. You know, God demands obedience. If we want to be saved by grace, you must obey God. And obeying God is following his plan of salvation. It's believing, it's repenting, it's confessing, it's being baptized. You know, it's putting off that old man and putting on the new man. That is God's plan for salvation. You know, Christ died on the cross for our sins, and yes, that is the basis upon which salvation is offered, or grace is the basis upon which it is offered, and that was God's grace shown to us, but that's not the basis upon which it is obtained. You know, God demands obedience out of us if we're going to obtain that salvation. And to read two verses and take them out of context and you know, dismiss many things that God would have us to do is wrong. We need to realize that God does demand obedience. You know, you can go back to those two verses in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Yes, we are saved by grace. It was God's grace that sent Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Grace is the basis upon which salvation is offered, but it's not the basis upon which is it obtained. You know, we have to realize that grace demands us to be obedient. Grace does not teach us to continue in sin. It teaches us to live soberly and righteously. It teaches us to follow God's commandments and do what He would have us to do. Yes, it is through faith, and while all will acknowledge that for the most part, yes, you must believe, that this faith demands obedience. You know, real biblical faith is completed in obedience. The Bible gives us many examples of that. We need to realize that, yes, it says it's not of ourselves, that, you know, even this idea still demands obedience, because if we're to look away from ourselves and look to God to see what He would have us to do, that demands that we be obedient to God if we're going to look to Him for the answers. We need to be obedient to Him, and that, yes, it's not of works. You know, it's not through works of the law of Moses. It's not through the works of our own plan or thinking that we can do enough or be good enough to obtain that salvation. It's through being obedient to God, because even still, this not of works still demands obedience. You know, righteousness is not obtained by our own plan, but by faith in Christ. And if we're going to avoid seeking salvation by our own works, we must submit ourselves or obey God. You know, we have to realize that God loves us very, very much, and He wants everyone, you know, to be saved. He expects obedience out of us. And we've got to realize that it's not up to us to come up with our own way. God has provided the way. We need to study His word and follow His directions, not come up with our own plan or not think that we can come up with a better way. You know, it's through obedience to God's word that we're going to have a good and happy life here on this earth and hopefully a happy home with Him in eternity. You know, again, many people today will use this to say that sinners are saved entirely by grace without any obedience, and again, particularly baptism, but I hope we've kind of shown tonight that God demands obedience. Even when you look at verses that people say shows that obedience isn't required, that is not the case. God does demand obedience. You know, there's a lot of different ideas out there, and one thing we always need to remember, we need to go to God's word to seek the answers. We need to go to His word if we want to know the truth. And if we want to have the instruction manual for our lives, it's God's word here for us. God does demand obedience. And if we want to be saved by grace, we must obey God. And that's all there is to it. You know, it's just human nature to want to try to come up with an easier way, to want to try to create shortcuts and make something easier and better and faster. But when it comes to what God asks of us, we don't need to be looking for shortcuts or looking to make things easier and faster. God's given us the way, and it's plenty easy. You know, there in Romans, it's referred to as our reasonable service. It's not extraneous. It's not difficult. It's just something that God expects, and we need to realize that we're capable of doing it if we put our minds to it. While we will sin and fall short and make mistakes, that we have to remember God has provided the way, and He has given us the answers, and it's through obedience to Him that we have a good and happy life here on this earth. That's all I have prepared for this evening. If there are those here who would like to be baptized, or if there are those who would like the prayers of the church, we'd ask that you would come as we stand and sing.